Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back into Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, and joining me as he does for every Spoofhound Spotlight is Maryville R2 Superintendent Dr. Logan Lightfoot. It's the big return of Students Month, as it always is, August for Northwest, Maryville. I guess first off, how's it going?
Things are great at Maryville R2, Jeremy, and it's great to be back here, and it's great to be talking about another school year with a great school district.
And, you know, the entire, I guess, summer you could categorize as construction. So, you know, I'll start off with the video board, because it looks like last time I drove by, video board's done. Mm-hmm. It's massive. It's beautiful.
Yes. Definitely all those things.
Is there still any kinks being worked out with that?
Yeah, no, great question. So, yeah, and you hit the nail on the head, a summer of construction all over our campuses. So, but yeah, probably the most visible thing if you come to our high school is certainly our stadiums and our fields. Video board looks fantastic. We got training on it last week, and we've got our teacher, Donovan Harris, who's ready to go. He's got a full class of kids that's going to do some sports media, and so all the videos and things that are going to get produced are produced by our kids. And so I would just encourage September 6th, come to the Hound Pound. It's going to be rocking. And you'll be able to see. I mean, I guess Coach Webb says it best. Don't expect a year 10 production in year one, because we'll certainly improve and do a lot of things. But I think for even that first game, it's going to be great. Turf's down. We last week took it over, and the boys got their first practice on it last week. So really exciting stuff. Baseball, softball field's going to be done September the 8th, I believe, and we're ready to go.
And have you messed with the video board any?
No, I have not.
Put up a YouTube or something, or maybe old Super Mario and played it?
I thought about doing that.
Yeah.
But out of fear of me jamming something up, I have not.
I was going to say, I always think about that because I don't remember why or when, but down in Kansas City at the Royal Stadium, the K, someone was playing Mario Kart on a giant crown screen.
No way.
That's awesome. And I've always been like, that would be the dream.
That would be the dream. I totally agree. But no, our video board, it's awesome. Like, it's going to highlight our community. It's not just about football. It's not just about soccer. I mean, we're going to highlight all the great things our kids are doing on that video board. It's going to be a great addition. It really is.
Well, let's go ahead and switch to the construction that is still going on at the elementary school. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's that's going along great. In fact, I tell people this because I believe it's true. The place where we have the most resources, most money, and everything like that going is the elementary school. And that's probably the one I've got the least bit of concern about. It's managed by J.E. Dunn. They've done a fantastic job to start with. If you've driven by that building lately, we've got footings poured for our addition already. They're already getting into some electrical work on the first floor. It's going to be a little bit of a puzzle this year. I know our teachers and staff are going to be up for it, but the plan is right now all of our construction is being done on the first floor, and we're teaching on the second floor. Over Christmas break, we're going to flip because they're going to be done with the first floor and then go to the second floor. So sounds like a tall task, but then again, it sounded like a tall task doing what we did this year. So I've got full faith in our staff that we're going to be able to pull that off.
So would you say they're on schedule or ahead of schedule?
We're right on schedule. Okay. Had a few minor hiccups to start with, but got those worked through. So that's going very well. Another feature at our high school, which I think is a great addition, we installed a safety island for the parking lot. So when you pull up to the high school now, there's an island there that kind of forces a traffic pattern, essentially. So you can't cut right through a parking lot and, you know, in danger of somebody getting hit, those kinds of things. Just a way to keep our kids and our visitors safer. So we're excited to have that. Kind of the way, if you look at big picture, Eugene Field started you know, in May. We'll be done August of 25 when kids come back. This coming summer is going to be a big summer for us for construction too, because the middle school is going to get new HVAC and some new furniture in the middle school, and the high school is going to get a lot. They're going to get some safety enhancements and things like that for a front entrance. They're going to get some renovations done for the main hallway. So there's going to be a lot of there was a lot of construction going on this summer, and there's going to be a lot next summer as well.
So will there be any construction this fall and winter, or is it going to be relegated to weekends or breaks, or is it just kind of whenever they can?
Yeah, no, great question. They're working, they work every weekday and then sometimes on the weekends. And so they've got, if you go into Eugene Field, and again, I can't speak highly enough of our construction management company, but they've got everything kind of cordoned off, and they do, they're working in there right now. So it's kind of a one side's a construction zone, one side's a school right now.
It's not one of those things where you're just in middle class and all of a sudden you just hear a drill or something loud happening, right?
You know, they tried to do, and with the way the construction phasing works, we have tried to do all the things, I call it the loud stuff, but that's probably too general of a term, but the things that's going to be the most invasive, we're trying to do that in the summertime, in both of the summer of 24 and summer of 25. But you still do. I mean, it's construction, so you can be sitting in class and you might hear a drill or something like that, but a lot of the really big kinds of things that would be loud and cause people to be displaced, we're trying to put those off for the summers.
Okay. And the big thing I think a lot of at least third and fourth graders are talking about is at least the parents of, or, you know, being moved into the high school. How has that transition gone? And, you know, is it working out for third and fourth graders as well as the high schoolers?
Yeah. Another good question. We are on, we're in our first week right now. I couldn't have asked for a smoother start, and that is 100%. I mean, you can put that right back on our teachers and the leadership at the tech school, and also our third and fourth grade teachers, and Mrs. Green and Mrs. Dallas. They made it happen. I mean, you know, we told them this is the plan. Here's what we're going to do, and I mean, they worked all summer to get this thing ready, and it's a great place for kids. It's a safe place for kids. You know, we're not having to rent 15 different trailers and kids in mobile units and things like that, and we have them in a school building. We're able to utilize cafeteria, gym, all those kinds of things. So kids are not getting shortchanged in their educational experience. That's the important thing.
So are they able to – so do they still have recess?
They do. So you can go out. There's the practice football field out back, and they'll actually be able to utilize both fields, the football field and also baseball, softball field as well, because that turf's about to be done. That turf's about to be done also.
I feel like high schoolers are going to look outside and go, well, I kind of want recess again.
I would want the same thing, if I'm being honest.
I mean, what is it that, you know, I never understood, especially as I get older, and this is probably, you know, because of education and people smarter than me have figured it out, but I was always just like, why did recess just stop at one point for people?
The golden question. It's kind of that middle school, you know, like when you get up to the middle school, you kind of transition out of recess.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, I think adults should have recess as well.
Because I went to a middle school that was attached to an elementary school because it was small. Mm-hmm. And so we were always out there with elementary kids. We didn't really, you know, commingle and play or anything. We all, you know, still segregated into our own grades, but mm-hmm. we took over the swing sets, and I always look back on that and I go, probably just ruined some kids like recess every day because we would dart for that stuff and just set up these brutal games of swinging and missing and trying to hit each other. But it sounds like the adjustment has gone so well. Is that going to be throughout the year?
Yeah, so we're going to it'll be for the 24-25 school year. And when that's done, if anyone's taking a look at our school calendar, this is going to be a unique year for us. We're going to get out of school really early this year, intentionally, and we'll be out May the 9th, I believe. And that is for to make sure that we get all of our construction done and we're ready to roll August 25.
And is there any concern about snow days or Mother Nature messing with that?
You know, no, we were able to add some minutes to our elementary building schedule. And so really we've got time built in still. I mean, granted, we could have a terrible winter and I could be saying something different in 4 months. But as it looks right now, I think if we have a winter like we've had the last couple of years, we'll be just fine.
And are those minutes put on at the beginning or at the end of the day?
Both. A little bit at the beginning, a little bit at the end.
Okay. Because I always look back on when, like, especially now when I see school starting at this day and this time, and I go, you know, I really don't even remember that that much. I don't think I assume kids just haven't noticed the extra time.
Yeah, it's good too. I mean, we've for years we wanted to be able to add minutes to the elementary schedule just because we want to make sure our teachers have the most time that they can with our kids. And so, and you look at all the important things and the important building blocks that are established in the elementary school. Just more time makes sense.
So is the elementary principal going back and forth to keep an eye on things?
What we do is Mrs. Green, she is right now with third and fourth grade at the tech school, and Mrs. Dallas, who's our assistant principal, is down with Mrs. Tobin at Eugene Field. Mrs. Tobin is the early childhood director, and at the end of the first quarter, they're going to switch.
Okay.
So that's kind of the plan.
Huh. I thought you were going to say we have cameras set up or something.
Nope. We tried to, you know, it's a little bit of a, I mean, we tried to make as many things as we can convenient for our staff, because we're asking a lot of them this year. And so if it means splitting up in a couple of administrators, if it means hiring an extra nurse, those kinds of things, we want to make sure that we do that.
Another thing I kind of am curious about, because I've never heard of this happening before, where, you know, you move a few elementary grades straight into a high school. Are they getting the same lunch?
No, they, then that's another good question. So they get the same, our third and fourth graders get the same lunches that they would have had before.
Okay.
And so we actually just third and fourth grade eat right before high school eats. So they're out of the cafeteria by the time the high school kids come down.
Yeah. Well, I assume that's, you know, designed to where, you know, it almost seems like they never encounter each other.
You know, I mean, it's yes and no. I mean, we certainly want our third and fourth graders to feel safe, and that's their building, those kinds of things. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, you're going to see high schoolers and high schoolers, elementary school. You know, I came from a bigger school myself, and my first superintendent job, I was at a K-12 building where, you know, everybody was together. And I'll never forget walking in. My daughter was in preschool at the time. My son was in the first grade, walking in that first day, and they went and got breakfast, and they're sitting at tables right next to high schoolers. It took me a bit to get used to, but kids do well around each other. And I think sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of the times, your high school kids kind of step up. They've got little brothers and little sisters, and they know how they should and shouldn't act around younger kids.
Yeah. I going back to my setup, there were days where, you know, we were all together, but, you know, it's not like we were bothering them or they bothering us. Like, we were simply bullying each other a lot of times. We weren't bullying the younger ones, you know, and vice versa. So, you know, I assume it's, you know, set up to where, you know, they don't have to see them as much, like you said, but, you know, they are going to mingle, and there is this consciousness as a high schooler, the young adult brain is starting to click in where it's like, these are kids.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we've got, you know, separate restrooms, separate all those kinds of things. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, just in the busyness of a school day, you might see a high schooler, elementary schooler. And I think it's been refreshing for our staff a little bit. I talked to Mr. Ingraham this morning, and he really enjoys having some of those younger kids over there. And there's some pluses to this as well.
I'd be interested to see what the kids think during homecoming and prom this year, when the high school just goes nuts.
Oh yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun for our elementary kids, and they'll be able to get into it also. You know, I mean, they kind of celebrate homecoming at the elementary school; they always have, but it'll be kind of a different kind of flavor, I guess.
Well, as long as they don't participate in a senior prank.
Good point. Yes, no, then none of that.
Although, I don't want to speculate, but I would be curious what it would be if that were to happen. But another kind of minor but still big construction component going on is the middle school weight room.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. So we were able to add about 2,000 square feet to our weight room area, and it's going to serve a couple of purposes for us. Obviously, our PE teachers are going to be able to use that during the day with our kids, but we received a grant a few years back, and we're able to purchase a lot of exercise equipment, cardio equipment, resistance bands, things like that, and we're going to put all of that in there, and that's actually going to double for a workout facility for a district staff. And so before and after school, they've got badge access to where they can go in and utilize that area for exercise.
Okay. Well, you know, because, I mean, you've been busy this week and you're going to be busy in these coming weeks with the start of school, you know, is there anything else going on outside of construction?
Oh, I mean, just, it's a great start to the school year. I mean, you take all of the noise, the construction out of it. We've got a great staff coming back to teach great kids, and I mean it's just it's a lot of fun. It's refreshing for me to walk through those hallways and see what's going on. I mean, I think we're destined for a really good year this year.
Okay, well. If that's all, we'll go ahead and get into our word salad. We'll go into our next segment, Better Know a Superintendent. And these are where I ask just random, sometimes asinine questions. But I've kind of had this written down for a while, and I haven't asked it yet. But I'll be curious to know what your answer is. If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why? And when I think about this, I think of something just super minor. And it would be the ability not to tear ligaments or break bones, because I like broken bones, and it's awful.
Yep.
And now, it was an ankle from a fall, so now anytime I fall, my first thought is my ankle okay?
That's good. This is gonna kind of sound cheesy, but this has been on my mind, you know, with the beginning of school and seeing my kids go back to school. If I had a superpower, I would love the ability to stop time. You know, time's the one thing. You can always earn money. You can always do whatever, but you can't get back time. And, you know, I looked at both of my kids the first day of school. And I mean, I remember walking them both to school in Nebraska my first year as a superintendent, and they were tiny. And now they're both in middle school. And, you know, just being able to, you know, if I was able to stop time and just enjoy time with family or friends or whatever the case might be, because time's the one thing that you can never get back.
Does that mean they would also be able to be in that time stop?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So it'd almost be like a time stop aura that you radiate. Yes,
I like it. A time stop aura.
See, I feel like we both chose practical things.
I agree. Yes.
Because there's people who are like, I would love to fly. I'm like, I don't know. If you go fast enough, a bird could take your head off.
Absolutely. Like, yes.
I don't remember. They're all the same. But do you remember the Mission Impossible movie where Tom Cruise was on the side of an aircraft?
Yes, I do.
And people are like, "Oh, what if he fell off?" I'm like, "No. What if a bird just flew at him? He would die instantly.
Boom, just like
you're flying at 300-400 miles an hour. Anything just coming at you is gonna take your head off.
Absolutely.
So like flight or I don't know. There's always superpowers I think are a cool idea, like being able to read people's mind. But then I'm like, yeah, but what if you can't control it and you just hear everybody's thoughts all the time around you? And mm-hmm. It's just like almost like schizophrenia. But no, we chose practical ones. The other one that I have is, let's see, what is the best and worst professional advice you've ever received and why? And I'll start off with the worst I've received. It was always, you only have one chance to make an impression, or I guess I should say first impression. And I'm someone who's screwed up a lot in my life. For instance, almost failing out of college and all these things. And I'm just like, I believe first impressions are one of those things where if you're never going to see that person again, yeah, but you always have a chance to rewrite your own, you know, image, to always improve yourself and to prove your haters or doubters wrong, to where they go from, you know, believing you're nothing to something.
I like it.
Best professional advice is always keep learning.
Ooh, I like it. Always growing. Yep, for sure.
I feel like if you're not at your job at least learning something new regularly, you're just going to be stuck.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. Okay. So my best and worst, I'll start with worst, and this is actually specific to teaching. There was this old adage, and I'm sure it's still around, is when you're a teacher, don't smile until December. You probably never heard that.
No. But,
I remember actually coming to school here, getting my teaching degree, and I would hear that, don't smile until December, you know, with classroom management. And I just, my time in the classroom, I was a high school English teacher, and kids respond to authentic adults. Kids respond to adults that they know care about them. And to put up a facade is really to do a disservice to yourself and your kids. So that's probably the worst I've gotten. Best professional advice. This is probably good life advice as well. The three kind of cardinal rules. Be on time, pay your bills, and keep your word. And I think about that, and you know, you can look think about that in life and all that. But if you do those three things, you're going to be all right.
I'm still kind of hung up on the don't smile till is. Why is that? Why was that a belief?
I wish I could tell you good rationale, because I don't think there's any good rationale for that. But I think the belief is, you come in and you're stern, and you can establish an orderly classroom, and you won't have classroom management problems and things like that. But that's one I've never gotten, and one I'll probably never agree with.
It almost reminds me of advice, or at least the idea of children need an adult and not a friend. But the thing about being an adult with a kid is that you still need to be human with them.
Absolutely, yes.
Be honest and upfront.
Yep. And kids, I think students K through 12, they crave structure. And so there's certainly that element of being kind of quote unquote the adult in the room. But kids need someone that cares, and kids need someone that's passionate about what they teach.
Yeah.
And if you have that, you're going to be great with kids.
So I know a teacher down in Kansas City, and she teaches, I think, ninth graders, I think. And she always has stories about, like, them joking about something, like, I won't say what it was they were joking about, but basically she brought up, so we want to talk about this, which is basically the screening for colon cancer.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, well, let's talk about it. It's something I've done. It's something a lot of men when they turn 40 have done. And it went from this joke to, and it not only stamped out the inappropriate talk they were having, but it also kind of opened her eyes to, this is something serious. This is, you know, this and that.
Yeah, that's a great example. I mean, that's just, I guess, one of the really neat things about the world of teaching and the world of education is there's always teachable moments. And they sometimes come in the, you know, strangest of places, but there's always teachable moments with kids.
Yeah, I had I want to say this was 7th or 8th, because we always had some form of like sex education, but my 8th grade teacher just came out and just started using all the words, like the medical words,
uh-huh.
and basically just talking about it as straightforward as she could, and it just took the oxygen out of the room, and we're like, well, we can't joke, and I guess we're just going to listen now.
That's a smart teacher.
Well, she had been doing it for like 30 years, and so I assume at some point it was like trying to, you know, wrangle kittens,
mm-hmm.
but she eventually caught on. But yeah, it's fascinating, you know, how much, and I see it with, you know, my friends who have kids, how much just honesty and straightforwardness will just work with kids, even if they don't truly understand like the idea or concept.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, well, anything else going on you want to mention?
You know, it's a fast and furious start, but Jeremy, it's always good to visit with you and always good to brag about our school district.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, KawasakiMaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at MazingoLake.com.